Here we're here with the Neptunas. You guys have been around for a long time. You guys play some kick-ass music. Getting here early, talking to you guys, chatting with you guys. You guys are just kick-ass. Why don't you guys go around the horn and introduce yourselves to our listeners?
I'm Pamita Neptuna. I'm the bass player.
I'm Laura Bethita Neptuna. I play drums.
I'm Leslita Neptuna, and I play the guitar.
Yes. Thanks for having us. Thanks for taking the time. We have a handful of questions, and we are excited to just drink some beer and talk shop. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So Walter like told me, hey, we're going to do this show. Check out the Neptunas, right? So check them out. It's like, all right. The first song that came to me that I played was 00 Seafoam. And I was like, I'm in love. The bass hit on that song in the beginning. I was like, oh, you know, if there was a spirit animal, I mean a spirit instrument, I would be the bass.
You would be the bass.
I would be the bass.
Because it's the best.
It's the best.
The bass is the wheels of the bus.
Yes.
The bass.
Describe.
So as soon as that song hit, I was like, oh, yes. I'm in love. I love this band already. So just like from like the third second on, I was just like, all right, let's do this show. I'm so excited. Let's do this. I want to meet the bass player.
That's
you,
me.
You guys have minimal words. I think I've already memorized your whole entire lyric library from all your tracks. You guys have minimal words, and yet still you guys are so creative. This is the current lineup from my understanding, right? How did the band form and how did it manifest to this lineup right now?
Well, it was all started with the bass player.
The wheels of the bus.
Yes.
The wheels of the bus.
My favorite.
the basses are the best.
Yes.
I was living
and cat guys.
And cat guys. Yeah. I'm in love with you now, see? I'm Pamita. I'm the bass player. I was living up in San Francisco and in the early 90s. And back up there before there was all the tech stuff, there was a lot of great bands and creativity and wild times in that city. And there were a couple bands that were just so great. The Phantom Surfers were a surf band, and they all dressed up in like matching tuxedos, and they were like crazy and wild. And then there was this other band called the Mummies, and they all dressed up in mummy costumes, and they were playing garage rock, and they were super crazy and wild. And then there was this band called the Trash Women, and they were three women playing guitar, you know, surf music and all that. And I thought, man, that's the band I want to have. So I went down. I'd been playing sort of with friends and this and that and the other. And then I moved back down to LA, and I was like, okay, I can't wait to go see surf bands down here. And I went to see the surf bands, and they were all like dudes that looked like they were hanging out behind the 7-Eleven. No costumes.
Indian guys?
No. Just boring, you know.
Well, they weren't dressed up.
They were just boring, not dressed up in costumes, not dressed up or anything. They all look like, I don't know, you know, whatever. So then
cargo pants.
Flip-flops. They wore flip-flops on stage. Never wear flip-flops on stage. That is my rule ever. Flip-flops.
Is it better to be barefoot than have the flip-flops?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, okay. Hell yeah. So anyway, so came down here, went to go see surf bands, and I'm like, what? Nobody dresses up. Nobody does a show. Nobody does a big show. I'm going to start a band. So then I started one band called the Bomboras, and then almost a couple months later, I started the Neptunas. I put out an ad. I was living in Long Beach. Put out an ad saying that I was looking for girls who wanted to play surf music. You didn't have to know how to play, but you had to have a wig collection and a bikini collection, and you could be in the band. And so then Toast, our first drummer, came in, and she brought you, Leslita, right?
I had just bought a guitar, and so she invited me to audition.
You're like, I don't know bar chords, but I passed the bar. So
Toast taught me the bar chords.
But you had a wig and bikini collection, didn't you?
I had a small wig and bikini collection anyway.
That's all. I didn't say what, how much, how big it had to be. You just had to have one.
I did.
So then she was hired. And then the rest is history. And then, so Toast was the drummer for a couple of years. And then Laura Bethita came on the scene as our drummer.
I want to tell you about that.
Okay.
So I was in a South Bay band, and this was in the 90s. The band was called Ball Gagger, and it was a trio, like a little punk rock all-girl trio. And we were on Theologian Records, which is like the first label that Pennywise was ever on. So I was in that band, and we had a record out, and we toured and stuff. But I was a huge fan of the Neptunas. We had played a show somewhere. We probably played many shows together, and I totally fell in love with the band. And we'd go to shows and bring them Little Mermaid gifts and stuff, right?
Remember? I remember, yeah.
And I got to be friends with them, you know, knew them through the music scene and being a fan. And then they ended up, like, I don't remember what happened because I wasn't in the band yet, but something transpired. There was not a drummer. They were going to end the band. And Pamita contacted me and said, we have this one show we want to play that we just got offered, which was with Billy Childish and the Headcoats. It was in San Francisco. So apparently San Francisco is sort of a magical starting place for the Neptunas because the Neptunas asked me if I would play that show, just that show, so that they could play with Billy Childish. And so I said, okay. And I kind of learned the songs, and we played at Bimbo's. And the people there were not very warm and fuzzy. I will definitely say they were.
San Francisco crowds are jerks, basically.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
I'll say it.
It wasn't warm and fuzzy, but I was on cloud nine because I was playing with a band that I totally was a huge fan of.
Already a fan of, yeah.
Yes. And then the deal was they would fly me up there, but I had to drive home with the bass player, your favorite.
Yes.
And by the time we got from L.A. or from San Francisco back to L.A., Pamita and I were like in love, and it was going to be, I was going to be in the band. So, and I've heard other stories since then, people that I know that were huge fans of a band, and they just like got to know them and hung out with them, and they ended up in the band. So,
right.
My message is, if you love a band, keep showing up. You might end up in the band.
Bring presents. That's the key.
Yeah, I brought presents, but that's normal.
You were in our fan club. I knew your name from the fan club because I would like send our packages of, you know, treats and things. And it's like, Beth Bachman.
We have an in. So we need wigs, bikinis, and join the fan club.
And just wait it out us to quit the band.
Sounds good. I got a mankini somewhere in the closet.
Yeah.
I can whip it out. It's cool.
Is it one of the ones like Borat?
It's exactly the
I
one.
I love that.
That's exactly
you
that.
You could be a glistening mer go-go boy.
What instrument? Can I at least get like the fish?
No, you got to dance.
Triangle.
You got to dance.
Hips were not made for dancing.
These hips lie, right?
My hips lie. So
that's how it started, and that was in the 90s. And
the rest is history.
Well, and they had already put out one record on Sympathy for the Record Industry called Scratch and Surf.
Yeah.
And then after I joined, we did another record called Let Them Eat Tuna that was on Sympathy for the Record Industry. And then lots of comps and fun stuff in between and some singles on Sympathy also. So Long Gone John is the man who owns Sympathy for the Record Industry, and he was really good to us, and we love him a lot.
Yeah.
Nice. So Laura Bethita, mm-hmm. Pamelita, and
close.
Leslita?
Pamita, Laura Bethita, Pamita, and Leslita.
Okay, got it. Because when my mom's hella pissed, she calls me Walterito. And I feel like that's already my like unofficial Neptune.
Yeah, you're
name
in.
Right,
totally.
There.
Already have the name.
So I'd like to thank my mom for that. You guys,
that's a lot nicer than what my mom calls me.
Yikes!
First thing I did was look on your website, and then I see you guys playing. You guys got this uniform, but in the background there's like an MC5 poster. I love the MC5. Mm-hmm. People walk up to me and say, "Are you Detroit? Are you from Detroit?" I always wear a Detroit Tigers ball cap. Iggy Pop is one of my biggest influences. MC5, big Detroit band. And then you guys, I think there's like a Clash poster in the background, and I mean, well, who doesn't like that, right? But it got me thinking, you don't go from like A to B to make the kind of music that you guys make. I imagine you guys have to go from like A to like Z to make what you guys make, because it's so creative what you guys do. But let's spend a little time with the A. Like what are your go-to bands? What are the ones, like, you know, the staples for you guys that made you pick up a guitar, play, get a drumstick, send fan mail?
Yeah. Pick up the bass.
Pick up the bass. Yeah.
Well, the first music that I discovered outside of, you know, what was just being played in my parents' house, you know, where I lived, was this guy I knew named John Ransom, who's the singer for the Smutpeddlers, who I hung out with a lot, had this album, and it was red, and it had like a picture of a band on it, and it was my gosh, Dusty's band.
Fucktown?
No, before that.
Oh, Legs Diamond?
No. Surf band at the Whiskey. It was a live album at the Whiskey.
Oh, John and the Night
John Rider. And the Night Riders live at the Whiskey. And that was really the first record I think I ever had. And there were a surf band.
Awesome.
And then shortly after that, I discovered like other punk rock, you know, and it was the mid-90s and early 90s. Like, I'm sorry, mid-80s to early to mid-80s. And so it was a lot of great punk rock at that time. And there was a lot of local stuff here, but like that was probably my primary first two musical influences of what I was excited about musically. Yeah. But I know that they have totally different stories than I do about being inspired. A Starbucks concert, what was that?
Yes, that was my first concert, Starbucks.
You'll have to Google it, kids.
Right. When I was growing up, I listened to, you know, the records my parents had, like Martin Denny and Herb Alpert, things okay. like that. And, you know, when I was in high school, I listened to Blue Oyster Cult and Led Zeppelin. I mean, the, you know, basics.
And, yeah. Still effective today.
Right. And I don't know. I just have always loved music. I played piano, you know, all through my growing up years. So when I came to California, I wanted to be in a band. And I first went to this Grove School of Music to try to figure out how to go about it and, like, you know, play keyboards or something. And I took all these classes. And then I'm like, I don't know, I got a guitar. And Toast taught me bar chords. And that was, like, the ticket.
That's awesome.
That's so funny. I didn't know that you went to music. I learned something about my 23-year marriage. You see, there's always something.
That's what we're all about here. That's what we're kumbayaing in, and we're going deep in here.
Golly gee, I really have, I can't even, it is A to Z with me. I like so much weird music all over the place. Where do I begin? Well, I guess like my bass idol when I was growing up was Pete Farndon of the Pretenders. I loved the Pretenders and thought Chrissy Hynde was so cool, but I loved his bass playing, and he looked like this rockabilly dude, and you know, it was like kind of wasn't quite punk rock, you know, but it was like kind of leading into that. So then I got into punk rock after, you know, but I would say that was my first bass influence was The Pretenders.
Hey, wasn't there a connection between Chrissy Hynde and the Sex Pistols anyway?
Oh, yeah. She hung out with all of those guys. Yeah. So,
hey, it's a gateway. They're a gateway band.
Yeah. I was into all the gateway bands. I was into Cheap Trick, was in another gateway band. And all that. So, yeah.
I want to tell you something about where we are because it connects to like the beginning for me with music.
Cool.
Right here. Sorry. I want to tell you something about where we are. Because it kind of connects to the early, my musical interest early on. This spot, which now is obviously like a rehearsal studio building, and there's a bowling alley across the street, which has been here since I was a little kid. And then there used to be right here, and there's a McDonald's right here, this space used to be occupied by a Mexican restaurant called Mi Casita. And they had shows there. So in the 80s, like, I saw Black Flag there. I saw The Descendants there. I saw Suburban Lawns. It was right here where we are. The building, I think, was just, like, torn down. I don't think either of these buildings were that. I mean, that McDonald's has obviously been nothing but a McDonald's. But this was, like, a place that I came to shows from the very beginning.
That is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
What was the venue called?
Mi Casita.
Okay.
My house. Yeah. My little house.
I had a Suburban Lawns record in Oklahoma, too. It's like, all comes together.
That's pretty neat. That's what makes this podcast magical.
We are learning about each other. I didn't even know that.
Dude, I know. Speaking of all the history, you guys are like spilling out stuff you guys have never heard before.
That's right. About each other.
Bonds, I got a confession to make to you.
Shit.
I am fucking stoked to have the pilot number. Do you guys know why we call it the pilot?
I don't know, but I was totally wondering.
We made a deal. This is our second podcast, and we made a deal that we would say, no matter what, let's get 100 shows in out of jokes. Let's just call them all pilots. And our handshake contract is that we would make 100 of these, and we would do it the way we want with the bands or people that we want to do it with. And so,
and we're 53?
54.
We're 54, so we're over halfway there.
We are over halfway
and
there.
And I think probably like pilot number 60 should be me interviewing Heidi.
Oh, she's putting it out there.
So that gives us like some more time to work on our skills.
Okay, I like that. Speaking of time, Let Them Eat Tuna, 1998, and Dig the Phantom 599. How do you guys keep busy between then and now? Have you guys just been playing? Have you guys, like, what are you guys
nothing
doing?
Nothing at all has happened. We all went to prison. There was this embezzlement thing.
Sweet.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you'd have to ask Long Gone John about that.
Wait. Both two of you. The other one found a way out. If, you know, she found a loophole.
You don't know. This could be a very Shawshank Redemption. Like, she could have studied law.
That's true. But you guys are playing. Oh, by the way,
we've been living our lives, but yeah.
Okay, but you guys are presently. You guys got a show the 28th, January 28th at the MTL.
And it's in. Are you familiar with that place? It's in Riverside.
It's in Riverside.
It's called the Tobacco Lounge. I've heard really good things, but I haven't played there yet.
Do you guys know the bands you guys are playing with?
Well, mm-hmm. I know for sure Shattered Faith and Mike Watt and the Second Men. Because there's Missing Men and there's Second Men. This is the one that Jerry Trebatik is the drummer in. I know that.
Okay.
And there are other bands on the bill, but I don't remember off the top of my head. And I have to be honest, I went to print this out today, this flyer, and the printer at work, yes, I was stealing one copy of something, was not working. I don't have the answer.
It wasn't working. So like you weren't getting the flyer because it was coming out electronically on everyone else's computer.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So for those of you guys listening, January 28th at the MTL in Riverside, go check them out.
MTL Mission Tobacco Lounge.
Mission Tobacco Lounge out in Riverside. Check them out. They're a great show. If you can't, like, while you are listening to us right now, just go to their website. Is it time to take a break? Let's take a break, Fonz. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Davy Jones Liquor Locker. That is the title of what you just heard on the break. Did I nail that?
Is that
what that is called?
Yes, that's correct.
What the hell is that extravaganza of a song? That is amazing. And how does that name come up?
You must not be a pirate. That's my deduction of this conversation.
Well,
thus far.
When I was going to St. Monica's High School.
Yeah. What's the mascot?
The Joe Mariner. It's very boring. We're the Mariners. And we just had a giant paper mache
sailor. By the ocean.
But it's kind of maybe what led to the Neptune.
Maybe. Okay. We could have been a mermaid. This St. Monica's Mermaids would have been such a better mascot.
Here's a joke. I was a cougar.
I think Leslie invented cougars.
I'm finding all kinds of stuff about you.
That's what we're here for, Fawn.
I agree.
So when I was going to St. Monica's High School, there's a liquor store that still exists down on Pacific Avenue. There was the liquor store that would sell to you if you didn't have an ID.
Oh.
So we would go buy our booze in high school. I hope my kids aren't listening to this. Don't get any ideas, kids. buy our booze at Davy Jones Liquor Locker. And so then we wrote a song. We wrote a song about the place where you could buy booze when you're in high school.
I think we have a picture of it on the album.
We went down and we took a picture.
I have the picture.
Are you serious?
I mean, do you post pictures with your podcast?
Yes, we certainly do.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you that.
Where does Davy Jones's Liquor Locker sit? Like, where is it on? What street?
It's on Pacific.
And
down,
what? What's across
down
street?
Down kind of
like
by
Fourth
Main Street.
Or
yeah, it's like down by Main. Maybe it's on Main Street. I don't even remember. But down by either Pacific or Main. It must be a Main Street.
And it's still there?
Still there.
So it doesn't come back. Like every 500 years, it like appears.
Yeah.
There's a curse. Shows up. I'm going, dude. I'm going there.
There you
I'm
go.
Going there. And that's all. And so did you nail the song and say, this reminds me of Davy Jones's Liquor Locker? Or did you say, I love this title. I love this place. I'm going to write a song about it. Here it goes.
I think we wrote the song. This is what usually happens. We write the song, and then we're like, let's come up with the instrumental ones at least. Let's come up with something funny for the title, and then that's what happens. Hey, let's call this one, hey, this is this place I probably was drinking. There's this place I used to buy booze when I was a kid called Davy Jones Liquor Locker. Let's name it that.
Speaking of writing,
just quote Eddie Murphy?
But,
I wrote a song about it. This is how it goes. You just said
that's more of a David Alan Greer Living Color.
I thought the laugh was a little Eddie Murphy.
Circa, my favorite.
Feeling the Eddie
Murphy. Circa, my favorite. You're 92. Yeah. Living Color. Okay. Speaking of writing, Dick Dale, when he started writing a lot of surfer music, he's Armenian. He's got a little Armenian blood, and so he borrowed a lot of Armenian scales to make a lot of what he made. Popular surf music. Where do you guys draw your inspiration for writing? Are they experiences? Are there experiences that you thought you had while drinking, like others do? Where do you draw your experiences from when creating music?
Leslie, I'll tell them where you get your inspiration from.
Outer space.
Yes.
The truth. That's the answer I was looking for.
Did you say outer space?
She's laughing so hard, no sound is coming now.
That's a very Leslie laugh.
And she's not laughing. Laughing like that's a punchline. She's laughing like you guys found me out.
This is a total a reveal right here.
Right.
Like she has never
talked publicly about it. Never publicly. It's only been in the band.
You know, Alien Beef Jerky on the way to Vegas.
Yes.
It's coming from her and probably some other intergalactic type of merchandise.
Walter and Fonz exclusive.
Like the Mad Greek across the street. You know, they're kind of close, same place. This is a Walter and Fonz exclusive.
Our songs come from outer space.
Come from outer space, 500 kilometers above the atmosphere. God damn it, Fonzo.
And then we splash down.
Awesome. Splash down. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
I think I found a song. Is that how it happens?
Houston, we have a song.
Houston, we have
Houston.
Davy Jones Liquor Locker.
Bam.
Wow. Okay. That's good. You know what? There's a lot of space out there. So I feel like it's an endless amount of inspiration.
The Neptune is bringing outer space to inner space.
You know what?
It's in not your space.
In your Ooh. Space.
It's not for nothing. There's a planet called Neptune.
There is. Neptune. There
That's
is.
Not a mistake.
So, Walter.
Yes.
When we were at break, you were chopping up their names, bro.
No, I had them right. They had them wrong.
We're rewriting our names.
Lorita.
Or Walter.
Pamelita. And Leslie Nita. No, I didn't get that. I wasn't that bad.
It was worse.
But I was pretty close.
It was worse.
I was pretty close. So what? Okay, what's your point?
That I want to know the names.
Okay, the names. Do you guys want to go ahead and say it?
Because no, we want to hear you say it. Right
again.
Laura, Bethita.
Woo.
Yes.
Pamita. Leslita.
Oh, yeah.
And Walterito.
With the bikini and the wig.
Mankini. And you know, it's not Borat. If you nail it right and you've drank enough, it actually starts to look like Freddie Mercury.
Oh, I love Freddie Mercury. It's,
you're speaking our language.
Yeah. Yeah. You're my best friend.
We listen to Queen.
Yeah. You know, you guys were talking about that Metallica album. I was so pissed at my brother because I had not had the wonders of experience Metallica. My brother traded. Queens came out with a Queens classic album somewhere in like the early 90s, and he traded it for the Metallica Sanitarium album. And I was so pissed because the Queens album, I only had heard like two albums in my whole entire life at this point. So I had not witnessed what Metallica was. And I was so pissed because at the time, like Stone Cold Crazy was in that album.
Yeah.
And that was like my favorite song. And then when I opened up Master Puppets, when I opened up that album, I was like, what is this?
That would be a shocking change.
I think this
is a good time to answer this question.
Everybody
should answer this question. What is your favorite Queen song?
Stone Cold Crazy. You know why? Because the younger you are, the harder it sticks.
The younger you are, the harder it sticks.
That was a setup.
We worked on that on our break.
Can I stop posing?
There you go.
Can I stop? I'm going. Yeah, so you can.
You're officially old now because you've got a quote.
You can put that on my tombstone.
But I really do want to know everybody's favorite. I want to know if anyone has the same one as me.
Killer Queen.
Oh, nice.
Mine is Don't Stop Me Now.
It's a good one, but it's not the one I love.
Don't Stop
best.
Me Now is so you.
Don't
just,
Stop Me Now is just
you
your
can
free breaking
no,
these.
You're walking around with swirly batons with. Streamers on them during that song. That's why I love that song.
I think anyone's favorite Queen song is like totally definitive of your personality.
Oh. Radio Gaga.
Damn it. You guys put me on a spot in a room full of women. Right?
This
is you sucks. Can't really go wrong.
And Walt. Yeah. And a mankini. So you guys put me in a room full of women and you guys ask me my favorite Queen song and I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Bicycle.
Yeah. Damn it.
I know you. It's Bicycle.
Fat Bottom Girl.
Fat Bottom Girl.
That's good. That's good.
Yes.
We've got, well, I can speak for myself. I got Fat Bottom. I like that song and I like that you like Fat Bottom.
So yes.
I like all of it. Okay, do you want to know mine?
Yes, please.
It's called It's Late.
If you have not heard that song, but it's like depressing.
Cancer. What do you want?
You too? Join the club.
It's so good.
Me three.
Yes, July 20th, right here.
June 23rd.
She's on the
July 5th.
Yeah.
I'm July 5th.
Topper. You're such a topper. You're like, it's America's birthday. Screw it. It's my birthday tomorrow. The real party starts at midnight.
I think It's Late is just such a good.
Dramatic,
like sentimental.
Emo. It's emo.
It's very emo. I'm very emo. I love the Descendants.
Emo, screamo.
And she's very quiet.
Are you like
very quiet?
Like when things don't mix, are you like, this is the worst day of my life?
Yeah.
That's every day. At some point. That was me 2 hours ago before you got here.
Queen, good
band. I'm also Sicilian.
Oh.
First generation
Sicilian
American.
So that's not even Italian because you're on the island.
Dramatic. Even, like, off the charts. So I love It's Late.
Like opera. Like opera.
That's why I like Queen.
Queen, classic Queen. That was 92-ish when that compilation came out. I was into the Breeders in 92. And we got to talk about that.
Who?
We got to talk about that. The Breeders. It's no big deal. Just a Kim deal, you know.
And Kelly Deal.
And Kelly Deal. When we talked earlier, I was like, Tanya Donnelly in that era? I just didn't know. And
I had to say no.
My brother had the biggest cry. I have an 8-year-old brother, and that's all I got.
8 years older. Than
8 years older brother.
Yeah. No, not 8 years old.
I was like, I think this is getting a little Chinatown. Like, that might not be your brother, that might be your son, and you're just not telling him. Well, I don't really know. But an 8-year old brother.
And he belongs to Anthony.
The mystery thickens.
Actually, my brother, who's 8 years older, he does belong to Anthony.
Yes.
But he just had the biggest crush on Tanya Donnelly. And so when you brought that up, I was like, just thinking about my brother. But
she was really rad.
You guys spent some time with them.
Yes, we did.
Tell us about that. So
that's a great story.
I think it's time for me to not talk so much.
Do you want to tell a story?
No.
Okay. Well, you want to tell the story?
I just liked hearing Cannonball every night.
Twice, because we got sound check.
The story's how it happened.
And you're part of that story.
That's the thing I wanted to say about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you the story how it happened. So we get an email message. Who was it? Was it me that got the message?
Yes.
It must have been me that got the message. I got a message from the management of the Breeders. This is 2014. Got a message from the management. Hey, we want to know if the Neptunas want to open up for the Breeders on tour. Are you guys still playing? We hadn't played in 10 years. But what did I answer them? Of course still playing. Absolutely we're still playing. Yeah, we would love to. So we had 1 month or 6 weeks. We had a little bit of time. We got together. We rehearsed our asses off and learned everything again. And then we went on tour with them. It was fabulous. But the funny part was they asked us if we were still playing and we hadn't played in 10 years. So.
Well, but that's also the funny part is you have to collect and go. Like, you have to change your lives at that point, right? Because you're
but
leaving.
It's, you know, that's part of being playing music is you kind of always are at the ready to up and leave because, like, you never know who's going to ask you to do something cool.
Yeah.
But how cool is that? Like, after 10 years, someone comes up to you, hey, you guys have any time you guys can play?
Yeah.
You know?
It was
that's
amazing.
That's fucking amazing, dude.
It's so like, amazing.
I cried every night on that tour. Their sound check.
First stop.
Like, I can't believe this is real.
Where was the first stop?
Seattle.
Where was the best stop?
And we played at the Showbox in Seattle.
Nice.
And I think historically speaking, like, the coolest part was the Fillmore in San Francisco.
Yeah, the Fillmore.
Like, that was a dream
come
true.
Oh, my God. So you're there doing soundcheck. No one's in the theater, and you're just sitting there, and it's just like...
You get a private
the
concert.
The only thing resonating is the sound of your bass or just the bap, bap, bap.
Yeah, but like, the better part was the Breeder soundcheck. Like, you're alone with them at the Fillmore, and they're soundchecking. Is this you and them?
Nah, I think us being with the Neptunas is pretty comparable, right?
That's a motivation for us to get another show there.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Exciting for us is being.
But I think that on that tour, it was so much fun. We had so much fun, and we were like falling in love with each other all over again because we hadn't, you know, toured in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, previously, we had gone to Europe and we had done other things together. But for me personally, the best show on that tour was in Phoenix because I had a very close friend who was the daughter of a friend who had passed away. You know, so like it was just a really emotional, very special night. It was my friend's who had passed her birthday and her daughter was able to come to the show. She's a grown up now and I had only known her as a baby. So it was a really emotional, like wonderful night. And I think every night for me on that tour was great. But what was your favorite?
No, in Phoenix also, we had our former T-shirt boy in the audience.
That's right, Sean Stewart.
Sean.
Yeah. That was a good show.
It's fun to get to see him.
Yeah. It's fun.
Touring is fun. Especially with the Breeders. Did you have a favorite night?
Well, the Fillmore, I think.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
So you had a better night at the Fillmore that time than the time before in San Francisco.
Oh,
it was like night and day.
It's like,
may I say?
That's the third monumental thing that's happened to the Neptunas in San Francisco. The band like was formed in your mind there. And then I basically played my first show there and decided to join.
Yeah.
And then we played the Fillmore, which is an unparalleled experience.
And that
with
audience
the Breeders.
Was nice.
Yes.
They weren't like a bimbo's eye.
Oh my gosh. It was amazing because every night on that tour, by the end of by probably mid hour set, the places were filled because people are so, you know, excited to see the Breeders. They would come, and some people were there to see us. But, like, we were playing two full houses, at least the second half of the set, and everybody loved it. It was, like, a perfect fit musically. So it was just like a dream come true.
I was going to say the best thing that happened was Kim Deal behind the stage at the Portland show. We were hanging out. I don't know what we were doing. You were putting your drums together or something. And she comes up and she said,
"Oh dear,
I love your music. Makes me happy."
Yes.
That's pretty powerful.
Kim Deal tell you, I go, "Your music makes me happy."
That is a pretty monumental thing.
It was such a sweet thing, yeah.
What a track. I mean, you can that just the beginning, the intro, you would already know after the first like four measures what song that is, just by that bass line.
Loved it.
Yeah, then you know that. Yeah, exactly. You know automatically what that is.
It's great.
That is pretty freaking cool.
We did have one contest I can think of between us and them.
Okay.
And it was the drummers had a calf off. And I should have won. I think I was robbed. But Josephine.
Who had the bigger calf?
Yeah, Josephine, the bass player of the Breeders, measured my calf. And the Jim McPherson, the drummer of the Breeders. Uh-huh. By the way, it was the Breeders' last splash lineup. So it was Kim and Kelly Deal, Josephine Wiggs, and Jim McPherson. And anyway, they measured our calves.
Kelly Deal when she was sane. Kelly Deal.
Kelly Deal's totally sane. Like, they were amazing.
Didn't Kelly Deal do some time?
I think that's exaggeration, but you're asking people who are like totally smitten with them. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I my experiences with them had like no criminal element or insanity.
If you're not doing any criminal element, then shoot, it's not rock and roll.
We were the criminal. What are you talking about?
You guys were the criminal element. No, but you guys had a calf off, and they measured your knee when they should have measured your calf, and you should have won.
And then I lost. I was wrong.
Got it. That's pretty cool. Just doing like hijinks, things like that.
I have a picture from that.
The Breeders. That's freaking incredible. That's pretty cool.
They're super nice.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
So what's next? What do you guys got going on? You got the show the 28th at the MTL. Out in Riverside, is that kind of getting the juices flowing? Do you guys want to do something else? You guys have two albums. You've released a couple of EPs. I gotta tell you, the more contemporary stuff, like the EP stuff, I like it a lot more. I mean, I like it all, but it really the newer stuff. I don't know. It just seems like more.
It's a little bit different. It's not instrumental surf, like true to like more surf traditional.
No, but
stuff.
there's a track that I really enjoyed. It's an instrumental. It's an instrumental. We were talking about it. We and Pamita. Dig Phantom 5. Is that what that's called? What's that called?
Dig the Phantom 5.
Dig the Phantom 5.
It was on a single on Sympathy for the Record Industry.
It's just a great freaking track. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a newer recording equipment, the machine that spits out music. Like, it was a newer version of it. But, like, I love that song a lot. And that really stuck to me. What's that song about?
Well, people disagree with me. I think it's a scary song.
Well, if you're gonna play surf punk, you gotta
from outer space.
That's a Leslie Lapid sound.
It's a scary song.
It's a scary song.
I was thinking about Phantom 5 scary. It's about people we like.
It's in the minor key.
How about that?
The minor key.
It's the
minor
saddest key of all. Key.
You're right. She's right.
It's like when you go from here to drop it down and become sad on the bar chord.
I don't know. To me, it has a scary sound, but I love the band. So
that song is...
I don't really know what the scary connection is. Maybe it's like a roller coaster ride being with the Phantom 5.
It's Phantom. It's written after the Cathedral of Phantom High School, second oldest Catholic school in LA. Okay.
Hail Cathedral.
But it's a fan. It's got Phantom. Maybe that's what makes it scary.
Yes.
But that song rocks. And as you guys were talking about earlier about it's written about another band.
They're a band that we played with when we were on tour in the South, right?
Yeah.
They're called Dig the Phantom 5. And the only vocals in that song are the names of the band members in Dig the Phantom. I mean, in the Phantom 5 are shouted out in them.
And that's not the only vocal.
Yeah, we scream. And that is why it is scary.
And there's another vocal.
She's right. That's right.
Come back, back, surf dancer.
Exactly. Right. I forgot. I stand corrected. There are three vocal parts.
And come back, surf dancer.
Right.
See, and then we shout out the names of the band.
I got the lyrics memorized. Yeah, I told you. I got like 90% of the catalog.
You can be in our band. Yeah, you're ready. We'll invite you up audition.
How about this? You know that I wrote, I don't know if you guys heard the intro to our podcast.
Yes.
I swear to God. crow or rooster.
That was
dog,
Walter. That was Walter.
Dog and me beating on something and a shot glass on my guitar. And that's it. And I made that.
I like that.
But why don't we, Fonz, why don't we, can I extend this offer? You guys can take it if you want. We need a new song. Like we got more than like 14 listeners now.
We need a theme
now.
Song?
We yes. need like a legit, from a legit band. I mean, we're getting.
Maybe a Neptunas
Maybe a Neptunas version, theme a theme, Walter and Fonz. Just think about it.
I love
just
it.
Put out there. I love
just
it too.
Out there. Like, you know, you guys, you know, someone has to go to the bathroom and you're playing with stuff and you record it and then there it is. But
you never know.
You know, we're getting pretty big. I mean, we got the Neptunas, Fonz. I mean,
right?
I mean,
yeah.
we are fucking blowing up,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
So, so you know, we might probably need a new song with me hitting a pan and doing like a and a shot glass. So just throwing it out there if you guys want.
I like that
spare
idea.
Time.
If you guys have some spare time, but do
Dude,
you guys
we
want
nothing but time?
No.
Seriously.
What's next? You guys have this show, or Fonz? Okay. Did you have anything else to add?
After, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What is going on? Like, you guys have this show. Is it gonna lead to other things? What's going on?
Well, we thought you were gonna create some like excitement around us, and then God only knows what could happen. The devil may care what could happen.
Well,
my pleasure.
We do have some things
we're
going on.
We're gonna play with Pop Defect soon.
Oh, you guys, what's all the small potatoes? A show coming up.
Oh, we have a movie.
Yes.
There's a documentary about us.
Come on, guys.
We're getting a documentary made about us.
I'm throwing a softball here. That's a softball question.
It almost sounded like you were saying we're getting abducted, which we already know is going to happen.
A,
but
also
we're getting a documentary made about us.
Yes, a new CD new and documentary, all kinds of exciting things happening. So
it's fantastic.
Yay.
What's the release on that? Did the filming process start at least?
We are just starting the filming process.
Yes.
So we don't have it yet. It's all happening, just happening now.
But I do want to say right now, this is a good opportunity to say, if anybody who's hearing this has footage of us.
Yes, we're still gathering footage.
Bubba
doesn't have footage of us. Bubba has never seen us.
What?
But this is also a good time to mention
Anthony
Special C, who is a band that I love, who are friends of mine, who are from right here, who you guys, Walter and Fonz, have interviewed.
Special C. Yeah.
Love Special C.
And Anthony, this is 3 years ago we had Anthony. We had a South Bay show 3 years ago. And here we are having another South Bay show, Fonz. So,
like it.
With Anthony.
And Anthony is like the secret heartthrob of the South Bay.
I know that because that is the highest stream show we've ever had.
See? Told you.
That has been the most high. No one has heard, no other show has drawn more of an audience.
Until now.
Well, until now.
Oh, yeah. Anthony, we're on your heels, boy.
Yeah, Anthony is a heartthrob around here.
He's a
photographer.
He's a mysterious man, that guy, Anthony Hernandez. So that's his name sometimes. Fonz, you got any questions?
Well, are we ending this?
Not unless you got questions, man. It's our show.
No, I just want to know, like if we miss something, if you guys want to bring it up, or if, like, websites or show dates or anything that we missed that you guys want to talk about.
Neptunas.com. That's what our website. Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook page.
If you Google Neptunas, you'll end up with some things of us and some of a Lithuanian basketball
player.
Team.
Yeah.
No, that's our team.
Are you serious?
The Lithuanian basketball team is called Neptunas.
Oh, I thought you meant you had some collaboration. No, you're right. That's
we
true.
We should collaborate.
But, you know, let's talk about, hold on, really quick. Let's spend a little bit of time. That's a great, again, got the softball questions. You have a podcast, Pemita.
Oh, yes. So my
it's
other
really
life
good.
Is being Madame Pamita.
Yeah.
and I do tarot readings, and I do teach tarot, and I teach magic, and I teach all kinds of cool stuff. And I have a podcast called Magic and the Law of Attraction on iTunes.
And is the podcast like how to, or is it about your experiences?
It's a how to. It's a how to podcast.
Ooh,
and
my sister's gonna love that. Yeah.
It's all a really good podcast. It's like having a conversation with a really knowledgeable, beautiful, witchy boo girl.
That's me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who can fucking play some fat bass lines?
Yes.
There you go.
Slap that bass.
True story.
Yeah.
Like Jesus with a freaking Fender
yes.
music man. Or Lucifer, whichever way you want to go. Still, same thing. All right. Yeah. That's okay. That's my
podcast.
It's pretty cool because, Fonz, we've never had a podcaster on our show.
No.
So that's pretty cool.
I'm a first.
Yes.
You are a first. Neptunas, you guys are a first. And we are very happy to be here. Thanks for taking the time.
Welcome
thank
to
you.
Our
thank you
humble space.
Hopefully we didn't embarrass you, or hopefully you guys had a good time.
I had a great time.
There's wonderful. Always the future for the embarrassing stuff.
I've learned
we're not done,
all
right?
kinds
we're
of
not
things
done.
About my band members that I didn't know.
Totally. This tonight. Is like a kumbaya. Like, dude, it's like the show came from outer space.
I think there's a song in there.
Yeah. There might be like a freaking a thousand
I have to
songs.
Point out that the that Fonz is wearing a really rad shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really cool shirt.
Well, describe it.
Especially because he washed it.
It's a Marshall amplification shirt. It doesn't get any better than that, I don't think, when it comes to shirts.
It's like
or the, amplification.
Like the rock gods. You know, they would always wear like the Marshall shirts and the like Fender shirts and stuff. So I was like, I got to get me a shirt. I'm not a rock god, but.
Yes, you are.
Now you are. Yeah. Now you are.
It just takes a shirt. Everyone's a shirt. One shirt away from rock godness.
Yeah. Or a wig goddesses. And bikini collection.
Yeah.
You should start working on
I
that.
I think that's
Fonz.
Easier. Yeah, I'll work on that.
Come on, get your Freddie Mercury suit on, man. Come on, dude.
Everyone should listen
back.
To it. Late.
I mean, at the very least, Brian May. Brian May? Brian May?
Maybe.
Big old wig.
Brian you're May. A Cancer. Listen to It's Late by Queen, and I think.
Change my life.
No, I'm the happy Cancer. Listen to Don't Stop Me Now.
Do both.
Killer Queen.
Radio Gaga, dude. Just Radio Gaga. I mean, come on.
Does the Peanut Gallery have
favorite
Queen
song? No, hold on. I like to give some
shout
out to Heidi Santos who helped put this show together.
Yay!
Like, I got some peeps. I've been talking to her. We've been talking music. She's like, I got some peeps that I think you would really like and check them out. And I did. And I really like them. And it was just a great fit. And none of this would have manifested without
it's all about
Heidi Santos over here. Yeah. Thank you very much, Heidi.
And Maria, her Maria. Sidekick.
She's beautiful and from sidekick. The LBC.
The LBC. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your time. We had a blast. And we can't wait to see you live. And we can't wait to see what happens and what's coming up next for you guys.
Yay.
Right on.
Thank you.
Guys.
Yeah, my pleasure.